Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 28th of October, Anno Domini 2013.
Wow. We're already off to a bad start.
Wow. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week. In just 168 hours, minus about 6 minutes. Okay, it's Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Michael Oden.
And we're going to be bringing you something, and maybe it'll even be news and muse, choose, lose.
We don't know.
Who knows?
We have no clue.
Today. Wow. Not only do we not have either Dave or Steve today, it's just Michael and I holding the fort down, or the station up, I'm not sure which. But also, apparently, I have lost the ability to speak English. All right, so here's the news. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Now, coincidentally, those are exactly the same numbers you can use to pledge. Yes, we are in week three of our pledge drive. And as you know, twice a year we come and ask you, our loyal and faithful listeners, to pledge. And I realize that in these perilous times, shaking loose a few hard-earned dollars is a hard thing to do. But we'd like to keep this station on the air. We'd like to keep this show on the air. And I get people who come up to me every once in a while and say, yeah, you're not going to go off the air. And say, yeah, it could happen. It's happened to us twice already. And it could happen again anytime. So we need you to pledge. And, of course, you can call those same two numbers, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. There's a big blue Donate Now button. Click it, and it'll take you right to the donation page. Scroll down until you see the soundbite stuff. Type in the number you like, and no amount is too small. I guarantee you no amount is too large, but no amount is too small. We've had donations of a couple of bucks, and whatever it is you can afford these days, that's a beautiful thing. We do have membership levels starting at $35, and we do have very cool thank you gifts starting at the $90.10 level, but any amount is welcome and frankly quite seriously needed, although if you can see your way clear to $200, you get the beautiful laptop tablet bag, of which I still am the only person in the known universe who has one. But anybody who pledges $200 can get it. It says Jazz 90.1 in Soundbites on the cover. It holds a laptop up to, I think, about 14 inches. This is a 12-inch laptop, and there's room left over. So 14, maybe 15, but I don't think so. Anyway, on Wednesday, Amazon announced yet another way for Prime members to get their packages. The new Amazon Key system allows delivery, pay attention to this, allows delivery personnel to drop off packages inside Prime members' homes, providing secure home access, and that is in quotes, when the homeowner is not available. Amazon Key works in two parts. Choosing in-home delivery while checking out on Amazon and providing access to your home through Amazon's new Key in-home kit, which includes a smart lock provided by Quickset or Yale, both of which are easily breakable, and a special version of the company's new cloud cam security camera. The old school method of leaving a key underneath your doormat is inconvenient and often anxiety-inducing. So Amazon believes its new lock and camera system will make accessing your home when you're not around more secure. Prime members can purchase the key addition to the cloud cam and a smart lock for a total of $250. And they can have it installed for free. With the lock on your door and the indoor security cam monitoring the hallway, the doorway. The in-home kit can allow authorized people into your home. Amazon delivery employees aren't given a passcode to enter the home. Rather, they request access into the home. And Amazon's records verify that the employee is at the right address at the right time. All of this is done through an encryption process, and once the process is complete, the cloud cam begins recording and the door is unlocked for the employee to enter. Customers can stay on top of in-home deliveries with real-time alerts and by watching the video of the delivery either in real time or after it's completed. While Amazon can direct its delivery employees to enter a home, the homeowner can control who else can come in when they aren't around. You can give friends or family temporary, recurring, or permanent access to your home and also allow other service employees such as dog walkers, cleaners, and others into the home on certain dates and times. The startup cost to use the otherwise free in-home delivery service may dissuade some users. $250 is a reasonable price for a 1080p smart home security camera with night vision and the accompanying smart lock, which includes a keypad and a traditional keyhole. However, the added upfront cost may stop some from initially embracing Amazon Key. Also, your own innate sense of security. Amazon is also selling a $120 version of the cloud cam that's not key-enabled and doesn't include the smart lock for those looking for another smart home security camera option. Amazon Key will launch on November 8th in 37 cities around the U.S., and work with same-day, one-day, two-day, and standard shipping orders. Prime customers can input their zip code on the Amazon Key in-home kit product page to see if they live in a supported area and pre-order the Key hardware kit. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is will you let Amazon be the gatekeeper to your home? So far, we have 32 votes. 91% of you say, are you nuts? The other choices are, of course, come on in. Amazon's trustworthy, right? And what could go wrong? But like I said, are you nuts has 91% of the vote. 6% of the vote are, of course, come on in. And one person said, what could go wrong? Nobody, shockingly, has said Amazon is trustworthy. 32 votes. And, of course, we know that you'll want to vote on this one, and also you'll have more to say about it. So if you scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, the very first choice there is the forums, and the second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one poll discussion is 28 October 17, will you let Amazon be the gatekeeper to your home? There are currently four posts in there, and they make delightful reading. So once you've added your delightful reading to that and everything else, you can come back and play with us. And the number again, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And of course, if you're calling to pledge, and why wouldn't you be calling to pledge? You could also do it securely online at jazz901.org. And let me take a minute to talk to all you folks out there who listen to this on the podcast. There are hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of you who do. And I know this because I get the report every month. And we thank each and every one of you. We're delighted that you listen, and you're listening from all over the world. And that's great. But you can also join in the fun, because that pledge form at jazz901.org is up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it is available right this moment in your area. And oh, by the way, if you're one of the very cool people who listens to this show on the Jazz 90.1 app, you can also pledge right through the app. It essentially takes you to the same place. So it's even easier to do. So you don't have an excuse anymore. We're not asking for a lot of money. We're not asking for the entire $55,000. Although, if you have it lying about and you have no other need for it, we would be honored and delighted to take it off your hands. But if it's got to be less, well, then it's got to be less. But we would delightedly take your pledge at any one of those ways. And also, by the way, Before I forget, you can become a Jazzomatic member, which is a very cool thing to do. It's a minimum of $10 a month, and then as long as you say, we will automatically take it out of your account, with your permission, of course, until you say no. And so if you want to give $10 a month for a year, that's the $120 level, and it works out pretty nicely, quite frankly, for everybody concerned, including, well, us. Because we then get a bigger amount of money. You pledge a bigger amount of money, which means you feel a lot better about it. And it's a good day all the way around. So, if you pledged it at that $10 a month level, that's not bad. $20 a month is what? $240. I can do that in my head. And that would, you get the prize for that as well. So you could get at $20 a month, you could get the Soundbites Jazz 90.1 laptop tablet bag, which is a very cool thing. But to talk about this Amazon thing, what they're basically saying, of course, is that you can allow Amazon to just let any of its delivery people walk into your home.
That sounds like it should be named Amazon Easy Theft.
Exactly. I'm sure that every single human being who works or has ever worked for or will ever work for Amazon is incredibly trustworthy and loyal. But the possibility of problems is, let us just say, galactic in nature. It's just amazingly large.
Just imagine the issues if somebody hacked their database and got all the information.
Well, and you know people will try to do it right now.
Disaster of epic proportions.
Right, right. It's a huge target for the hackers all over the world. And we've already seen instances where there was an instance of a guy who was sitting on his couch. And his friend came to the door, and he knew that he had one of those smart locks that's openable by Siri. So it's summer, so he yelled through the open window, "Hey Siri, unlock the door," and it did. Now the guy was there, the owner was there. He was sitting right in the living room, and he knew the guy who came in. But still, you know, my point is not that they were buddies. The point is that it happened. So you need to think about that before you do something along that line. We'd love to hear what you think of that. You can give us a call and just chat about that if you want to. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Of course, we will ask you if you're a member. You can, of course, lie. It's your conscience. But we would be delighted to hear from you whether or not you're making a pledge, because while these few weeks are indeed very much about keeping this station running, that's not all we're about here. So if you've got a computer question or you want to chat about computer stuff, we would be both delighted and honored to take your call and take that pledge or take that question. We'll do it all. You will be asked when you call if you want to make a pledge.
Yes,
but you can say no. That's perfectly acceptable as well.
All right. And your name is?
And we've got to take a break shortly. But after we do, we'll get to our calls quite quickly after that. Just one more reminder that you can give us a call and make a pledge at 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. All right, we're going to take a short one. When we come back, your calls, more begging, and Michael Oden, Nick Francesco. 19 minutes after the hour, 20 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we have Dennis from Rochester, New York on the line. Hi, Dennis. What's up?
Well, first off, I renewed my Jazz-O-Matic membership a week before your fundraising started because I had forgotten that you were going to do fundraising. So I am indeed a member.
That's what we like to hear. Thank you, Dennis. Let's hear it for Dennis, everybody. Yay! Okay, Dennis, what's your question?
Okay, Windows 10 update. Well, I was doing a Windows 10 update, and some of them went through, and then I got to the part where it says feature update to Windows 10 version 1709. It keeps looping. It says downloading feature updates, and then it says then it goes to preparing to install updates, and then it goes back to downloading updates again, and it keeps looping and looping and looping, and I'm not sure what to do about it.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Okay, here, a couple of quick questions. So it's specifically 1709, and it's specifically that second part?
Feature update, if that's what you mean.
Yeah. And it keeps looping back and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of things I might suggest. Okay, first, are you using, is this on a laptop or is it a virtual machine on another system somewhere?
Nope, it's my desktop.
Desktop, okay. We've seen this on virtual systems somewhere. The first thing to try, of course, is to disable your antivirus.
Yeah, I have done that already, and that's not helping.
Okay, not just the antivirus, but all that stuff, the spyware and all that. If you're running any of that automatically, then you need to get rid of all of that stuff.
Well, I disabled Avast completely, and in fact went into startup and disabled that. I'm not sure with this Windows 10. I know there might be malware bytes service turned on, but I don't know how to get to it and turn it off. I mean, it's not in my system tray. I don't have it starting up with Windows.
Okay. Well, you can open up the task manager, and there are.
This task manager is so much more confusing than task manager in Windows 7.
It is.
I'm looking at it, and I've got processes, performance, it's that whole line across the top, and
Right. What you want to do is first check on the startup tab.
Okay, and it shows every. I've got three items: Windows Defender disabled. I have something called Gadwin print screen that's disabled, and AV launch, Avast launch disabled. All those three are disabled.
Okay, then under processes, you should be able to see if malware bytes is in that list.
Okay,
and stop it.
I don't see it. I don't see it on here at all.
Then it's probably not running.
Right. I don't see it at all.
Right. So you don't have to worry about that. So the issue then is clearly something else, and we're seeing that there's about a billion reasons. One thing you should do is before you run, you can get into the system, right?
Yes.
Can you boot into safe mode?
I've not tried that.
Try that, and you know that's usually the F8 key, and you hit that while it's booting from a cold boot. Just keep tapping that until you get a choice, and then go into safe mode. And then once you're in safe mode, there's three commands you have to run, and I don't have it set up here to put them online, but I'll tell you what they are.
Okay.
SFC, which stands for System File Checker. SFC space forward slash scan now, and that's all one word, scan, S-C-A-N-N-O-W.
Two N's or one N?
Two N's.
Okay.
The first command is SFC space slash scan now. The second command is D-I-S-M, and I forget what that stands for, but D as in dog, I as in idiot, S as in Sam, M as in Michael, .exe.
Okay.
Space slash online space slash cleanup dash image space slash scan health.
Wow. All right.
That's the second command, dism.exe slash online slash cleanup image slash scan health.
Okay.
The third line is almost the same. It's dism.exe slash online slash cleanup image, only then it's space slash restore health, all one word.
Restore health.
Right. So you get into safe mode, you type SFC space slash scan now, hit enter, wait for it to finish. Type dism.exe slash online slash cleanup image slash scan health. Hit enter. Wait for it to finish. dism.exe slash online slash cleanup image slash restore health. Hit enter. And wait for it to finish. And you really must be in safe mode for that.
Okay. Are these all lowercase letters?
All of them, yes.
Okay. One reason or another, I can't do that, or I'm not doing it right or something. Can I just ignore the darn thing and just use Windows 10 and not worry about additional features?
You can for a while, certainly. The problem is that you're just putting off the pain, because at some point it's going to want to have other updates that require the 1701 update.
I see.
So
okay.
One thing that to tell you about that you should probably know is that when you start your Windows 10 system, you get to the login screen.
Mm-hmm.
In the lower right hand corner, there's the shutdown restart icon.
Yes.
Okay. Before you press that, hold down the shift key. And then select restart. Then your system should reboot and present you with the options continue and troubleshoot. And if you click on troubleshoot and then click on advanced and then startup settings, you can do safe mode and everything else.
Okay, I think I got that. One way or another, I'll figure out how to get into safe mode. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you, Dennis.
All right. Thank you, Nick.
Good luck.
Bye.
Yep. I realize that that's a tiny bit annoying and in some ways relatively painful, but the reality is that Microsoft is making it harder.
Increasingly
so, for people to do things that they really want to be able to do, and nothing much we can do about that if we're going to keep using Windows. So I tell people Linux and Chromebooks all the time, but as long as you're going to still be using Windows, you're going to find these issues and find more and more of them as you go along.
Yeah, I'll be using it until they decide to go to subscription model. Then I'll be like, okay, well, I'm switching everything over to Linux.
Well, and that's just exactly right. They've been saying for a year that that's what they're working toward, is a subscription model, which is to say every year you pay Microsoft for the privilege of running their operating system, and if you stop paying, it stops working. And that's their deal, and we don't have a lot of say in that, except that we can vote with our feet and move to Linux or a Chromebook. I personally would not be buying a new Windows 10 machine these days because I don't intend to go to the subscription model. But if you do, if that doesn't bother you, then certainly buying a Windows 10 machine is not a bad idea. And, of course, buying a high-end machine and then running Linux on it, or even a low-end machine and running Linux on it, is also a choice. All right, and of course, it's not just computers that we're having trouble with, and it's not just Microsoft. The Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL are the best Android phones you can buy, but boy, does the 2 XL have a lot of issues. Some people are complaining about a clicking or buzzing noise. Some say it happens only when the screen is on. Some say it only happens when they're making a call. Some say it doesn't happen at all. Some say it's random. You get the idea. The bigger problem, however, is with the display. It's grainy and has a weird blue shift at certain viewing angles. Worse, the 2XL is now experiencing burn-in on units that are just a week or two old. Android Central was the first to report the issue, showing a picture of a Pixel 2XL with some nasty image retention around the navigation bar at the bottom of the screen, the triangle, circle, square thing, which some of you thought was some sort of ESP test. Shortly after, several other reports of burn-in started popping up, and you can add Ars Technica's review to the unit to the list of affected devices. In response to the complaints, Google has sent out a statement saying it is investigating the issue. The Pixel 2 XL screen has been designed with an advanced POLED technology, that's plastic organic light emitting diode, including a QHD plus resolution, that's quad high definition plus, wide color gamut and high contrast ratio for natural and beautiful colors and renderings. We put all of our products through extensive quality testing before launch and in the manufacturing of every unit. We are actively investigating this report. Samsung is the undisputed leader in smartphone OLED panels, and the Samsung panels used in the Pixel 1, Pixel 1 XL, and Pixel 2 have mostly been issue-free. The Pixel 2 XL, however, uses an LG-made POLED display, which has proven to not be up to the standard set by Samsung. The LG V30 uses a similar pattern and panel and has lots of display issues, too. It's been a rough few weeks for Google's hardware division. In addition to the display issues with the Pixel 2 XL, the Google Home Mini apparently shipped with a top touch surface so defective that Google had to permanently disable it. We've got to wonder, what is the quality control like over there? Is it just ganja and beer? I don't understand what's going on.
Well, this one worked. I guess all the rest of them must work.
Exactly. Here's one I didn't have any trouble with, man. Okay, so how's your phone display? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. The problem with displays like that is that they're not easy to replace, particularly on the newer phones that don't really let you take them apart easily or at all.
I guess the upside is, well, you can't see anything, but at least it's not catching fire, you know.
Exactly. That may be well be Google's new Pixel 2 motto. At least we're not on fire. Very nice. Set the bar a name for it. I wish Dave were here to talk about his, but I've seen the pictures and there is a faint burn-in. Now the issue, of course, is most people aren't going to notice it. There's actually a test app that you download and it turns the screen gray, a particular shade of gray, that brings out this burn-in. Most people won't even see it unless they run this app, at least at this stage. Now, how much worse it could get, I do not know. Google is attempting to mitigate that by making some changes in their GUI, their graphical user interface. One thing they're going to do is on screens that have that are big enough, apps that have screens that are large enough, they will hide the navigation bars until you swipe up from the bottom or something, in order to make sure that they have a change going on in that portion of the screen, which is what prevents burn-in. I'm sure somebody will come out with an app that marches little bars of alternating bars of white and black up and down the screen, which theoretically they say will alleviate burn-in, although I don't think it does. And that's the problem with any of these screens, OLEDs and plasmas and LCDs and whatever they are. If you leave a static image up there long enough, it will burn into the thing. People see that all the time on their televisions with the bug in the corner. Mm-hmm. You know, every station has a station logo in the lower, usually right corner. And when you watch TV for 4 or 5 hours a day, seven, yep. 8 days a week, you end up,
yeah.
with that thing burned in. You've seen that.
I have experience with it. If you take a look at my living room TV, you can see the bottom bar for the NFL Network burned into my screen.
And we see that more often than not, but we haven't seen it on many phones. And by using the POLED, the plastic organic light emitting diode screens of LG, we're now seeing it. And it really all has to do as I was saying, quality control. Somebody's got to sit down and run some quality control tests. And if you haven't got burn-in as one of your quality control issues, somewhere along the line, whether at LG's factory or at the Google plant that puts these things together, then you've got lousy quality control. And Google, you should be hiring me to fix that for you. Doggone it. In the meantime, we're going to take a short hiatus. But when we come back, we'll have more news. We'll have more Michael Oden. We'll have more Nick Francesco. We'll have your calls. We'll have a whole lot more sound bites on member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Michael Oden.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay. And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbite. And we've gotten zero pledges so far today. That kind of makes me sad. There are 100 of you listening on the live stream. There are hundreds of you listening to the podcast. There are an untold number of you listening over the air, and you're not pledging, and that makes me sad. And you can make a pledge by calling 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Those of you who are catching us across the lake. Or, of course, if you don't like to talk to a human being, and really who does, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And that, of course, is one of the services that we here at Soundbites provide for 2 weeks, for 2 hours every single week. You don't have to talk to another human being. You can just listen to Soundbites and tell people to go away. You're listening to Soundbites. But in order to do that, we need to stay on the air. And in order to stay on the air, we have to keep the station running. And in order to keep the station running, we need your dollars. You've heard me say this many times. We don't get federal money, state money, county money, local money, any money from anybody except our listeners. We are true. When we say member supported, we ain't kidding. But the downside of that, of course, is that members have to actually support us. And right now you're not. But that's, you know, that's on you. That's if we go away, just frees up my Saturdays. I'll go hang out at the market and never answer another computer question. That works for me. But if you want us to keep doing this, then time to pony up. All right. Some of us are phone case people, and some of us are holster people, and some of us aren't either of those things. Those in the latter group who pre-ordered the iPhone X may want to consider some kind of protection for their new smartphone, though, because the iPhone X will be quite expensive to repair. According to Apple's service pricing support page, it will cost $280, well, $279, which is $280, to repair the iPhone X screen for customers who don't have AppleCare Plus, and that's the company's extended warranty. All other damages to the iPhone 10 that need repairing will cost a whopping $550, over half the price of the new phone's base model. These prices apply in three circumstances. If the iPhone 10 screen needs replacing due to, and I quote, accidental damage or mishandling, or if the screen breaks due to an accident or mishandling and the device is only covered by Apple's one-year limited warranty, and if the screen breaks and is not covered in any way, including the original warranty, consumer law, or AppleCare Plus. The iPhone 10 service prices are significantly higher than those of other iPhone models, all of which are subject to the same three rules. For example, an iPhone 8 Plus carries a $170 screen repair fee and a $400 fee for all other damages, and the older iPhone 6S has a $150 screen repair fee and a $300 fee for all other damages. AppleCare Plus is the only saving grace, shockingly enough. Purchasing the extended warranty for $200 on top of the price of the iPhone 10 will add two more years of protection to the original one-year limited warranty. AppleCare Plus also includes coverage for only two accidental damage incidents that you can use to fix the screen or other parts of the handset at no additional charge. Those come with service fees, but those costs are much lower than what's imposed. Without AppleCare Plus, a screen repair costs $30, and other damage repairs cost $100 under the extended warranty. So it's not, I guess, not entirely without additional cost. AppleCare Plus costs $130 for all other iPhone models, making the extended warranty yet another aspect of the iPhone X that's more expensive because instead of $130, it's $200. Depending on the out-of-pocket service price for other iPhone models, AppleCare Plus may not be worth purchasing. However, the extra $300 up front may save you from spending much more money down the line if you tend to be clumsy with your smartphone, and who isn't? It also covers miscellaneous issues, not accidents or mishaps, that may cause the iPhone X to stop working over time, making it a decent investment if you plan on keeping the iPhone X for a few years rather than upgrading in one or two. iPhone X pre-orders are already listed at a 5 or 6 week shipping time frame. Many reports over the past few weeks suggested there won't be many iPhone Xs to go around, and that demand would be overwhelming and would overwhelm supply in the first months of availability. The iPhone X is an expensive device to make, so it's understandable that its repair prices are higher than other models, but its expensive and complicated construction may also hold up production and prevent consumers from getting the smartphone as soon as they had hoped. Are you pining for the iPhone X? Or do you already have one? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Looking to get yourself an iPhone X there, Michael?
I couldn't afford one, and I don't want one for that, even if I could afford one.
I'm with you. Not a phone I particularly care to own under any set of circumstances. I'm very happy with my Android phone. If I do upgrade it, it'll be because it's really past time to, because it's just getting old and not working well. But I will not upgrade just because there's something new out. It's got to provide me with something. Like, for example, I'm looking at buying a new Chromebook, but that's because the new Chromebooks, A, have touchscreens, and B, do Android apps. So that's a compelling reason to upgrade, and I will do that. But just to upgrade because I happen to have last year's model and I look slightly less douchey than I could? No. I'm not interested in that. I am very happy with the phone I have, and I don't need to be moving ahead of time. My personal sense of self-respect and self-esteem has nothing to do with the phone that I carry and everything to do with other stuff. So I don't particularly care about that at all. So listen, about pledging, I just want to take an extra minute to remind you that without you, this station does not exist. That without you, this show does not go on the air. Now, I'm sure there are people out there who are poo-pooing it as fake news that we will be on the air in some way, shape, or form. Well, you know what? Maybe not. The reality is I may not be here. If Dave or Steve decide they want to be here, that's on them. But my feeling at this point is if people don't care enough to keep the station on the air, I don't care enough to keep answering people's questions. I don't need to be here. I can be somewhere else. So that's up to you, and you can decide that for yourself. In the meantime, we will go back to the phones, and we will talk to Scott from Greece, New York. Hiya, Scott. What's up?
I just wanted to share again with the audience that I've been using the tone intercept for the robocalls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like all I see out there is just piles and piles of robots. Just they get to the right to the edge of my my voicemail, and they can't make it through. They just die out. It's just I've been having peace and quiet in my home, and I'm just like, this is so cool just to have the I just say doodle dee.
Yep, there you go.
Bots everywhere.
Yeah,
we had one of those pretty internet and we could filter out the bots there, we'd be great.
We'd be great. And what Scott is talking about here is a thing we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And if you want to look that up, if you scroll down on the right, you'll see search posts. And in there you could type, for example, I don't know, I think tone will work. And there it is, special information tones. And trick automated phone bots into never calling you again. And those two come up as search results for the word tone, T-O-N-E. And what happens is you can play those. They're on the internet. You can download them as your voicemail thing, or you can just put them at the beginning of your voicemail. And when you do that, robocallers listen for that tone. Because there are a number of specialized versions of those tones, and depending on which one you choose, they might tell the phone that phone is, they might tell the caller that phone is no longer in service, for example. So there's all circuits busy. There's number changed and disconnected. That's a good one. All circuits busy is not a good one because they'll just call back again. So all number changed or disconnected is really the best one to use. And you can actually play that, right from your browser, as you're recording your, voice, you can add that at the beginning. And when a robocall hears that tone, it takes your number out of rotation for a while. And so it does not call you back for X. Now, that X could be 1 month, 3 months, 6 months. Because what's happened is if you use, for example, the intercept number changed or disconnected, that tells it that it's not that number is not being used and is back in rotation. So it could be months before it comes back out. And these people make money based on the number of calls they place, the number of successful calls they place. So they don't want to call a number that's been disconnected. So
amen,
they take
brother.
It out. What?
Yes, sir.
It works, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm telling you, this one guy I called, and I called the robot guy, and he said, go to my number, or if you want to be disconnected, press 8. Well, I realize when you press 8, you're telling the world or you're telling the robots that you're still a circuit that's connected.
Right.
So I talk with the guy, and I says, hey, come on, can you please get me on the no-calling list? And then he said, oh, I'll do that. I'll put you on speed dial.
Exactly.
And I was like, I didn't catch on. My wife turned to me. She said, don't you get it, Scott? He's mocking you. And I said, oh, yeah?
Yep.
And then that's when I said, let me see, what did Nick say?
Yeah.
And then I just pulled out a tone off the internet, and I played it right at the beginning. I mean, just have a little pause, like maybe a second pause, and I just have the standard outgoing message. And when it plays, and I know it's a robot, the robot disconnects within 30 seconds.
Yep. It's a great thing, and it takes you off the list. I got, I started blocking calls, which is a pain in the neck, frankly, before I fell onto this trick. And so I still get calls from blocked numbers. And I had 8 of them yesterday morning before 10 a.m. 8 of them. 8 of them. Starting at 9:00.
Yeah, they like to call my place at around 6 for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. And you're absolutely right. If you actually interact with them in any way, including, you know, pressing 8 to be taken off the list or whatever, they know they've got a live human being who's actually listening to the message.
Amen,
that's gold
brother.
For
Amen.
Them. Exactly. You win. You win, Scott. Thank you so much. Well done,
you're
you. Well done. That's a beautiful thing. We've talked, but that's just one of the many benefits that we bring you on this show. Ways to help yourself and make your life a little easier. Putting that intercept tone on your outgoing answering machine message or incoming. I don't know which direction that is. The one where you say leave a number. You start it with that boop, boop, boop tone, and it will drop the call, and they'll take you off the list for months at a time. It's really a beautiful thing. And you know what? I think that's worth a few bucks. So I think you should immediately pick up the phone. We will not give you a busy signal or a disconnect tone. Give us a call at 585-966-CHAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. And of course, if you don't like to talk to a human being, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It takes, no matter which way you go, unless you're a slow talker or a slow typist, it takes less than 2 minutes of your time. And it's time well spent to continue to get the sort of news and information and just plain zaniness that goes on this show every week. And we are here only once a week, but we are also available through the archives. And you can join in the merriment online in the forums. All right, this music you're hearing in the background tells me that you have wasted an hour of your life with this show. Now, don't go away, because you're going to get a whole nother chance to do it again. We're going to take a momentary rest. And I'm going to get a little something else to drink. Oh, no, probably just water here. And then we'll be back with a whole lot more of Michael Oden and me, Nick Francesco. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and you are indeed listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. And that show, like this station, is truly honored and delighted to be user-supported, member-supported, right here on Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. And, well, yes, we're in the middle of a pledge drive, and it's been a long, dry spell, pard. But we're hoping that one of all y'all cowpokes out there, male or female, I believe cowpoke is a neutral noun, and one of you cowpokes out there will take it into his or her noggin to pick up that there telephone connecting device and give us a call. Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. I have to admit, I've been reading Westerns lately.
I'm going to work this into the broadcast somewheres.
Yeah.
I'm going to work this into the show.
Yeah. I've been reading, I stumbled on something called Megapacks. I found them on Google Play for Google Books, but I'm sure they have them on Amazon and every place else. And it was essentially 25 Westerns for 99 cents. And I thought, okay, I can do that. I can do that. So I've been reading them, and now I'm reading a Robert Parker's. God, what are the names? Everett and whatever his name is, Virgil, and I've been reading those. I've been on a bit of a Western kick lately. I finished a book on Nikola Tesla, and I finished a book on how the internet is going to become alive shortly. And I thought, time for something a little lighter. And so I'm reading that. And here's something that's not necessarily a little lighter, and given at least one of the calls we've had today. A week after it's released, the Windows 10 Fall Creators Update is already on 5% of Windows 10 machines. The previous Windows 10 update, the Creators Update, was given a very slow rollout as Microsoft sought to avoid problems faced in last year's anniversary update. 5 months after it released, it was only on 2/3 of Windows 10 machines. Now, at what is likely to be its peak, it's on 3/4 of Windows 10 systems. The anniversary update itself is still installed on 17% of machines. In contrast, the anniversary update was on some 92% of Windows 10 devices when Creator Update shipped. Microsoft's phased rollout approach distributes the update to systems using hardware and software configurations known to work, incrementally adding new configurations as more real-world data about hardware and software compatibility issues are collected and addressed. The company is believed to have a larger body of tested known configurations to enable a faster deployment. The AdDuplex data also shows that Microsoft's own surfaces are largely well ahead of the curve when it comes to Fall Creators Update adoption, demonstrating the skew between systems that have been validated on the update and those that haven't. A hair over 20% of Surface Books are on the update, with 19% of 2017 Surface Pros also upgraded. The very first Surface Pro model sits at just 5.9%, and oddly, the brand new Surface Tablet is also something of a laggard at 8.3%. So have you upgraded yet? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. This relates a bit to the stuff we were talking about earlier today. When we talked to Dennis about updating to the new Windows 10 Fall Creators Update, the basic problem is that there are no two Windows systems that are identical. And because each one is unique, each one presents unique problems. And so what they're doing is rolling this thing out slowly, starting with people who have, as near as they can, known working configurations. Some people don't have anything unusual in their machines, and they're running pretty generic machines that they got from one of the big box stores or, you know, one of the vendors like Dell or Lenovo or whatever. And when you've got a purely vanilla machine, the likelihood that the Windows 10 Fall Creators Update will work is high. But it's when you have something unusual in your system, like perhaps Dennis does. One of the issues that we find, and I don't know why I didn't say this to Dennis. Dennis, I know you're still listening. So here's another thing for you. One of the things we have found is that if you upgraded from 8 to 10, you often brought a lot of issues along in the registry. And fixing those issues with a product like Revo Uninstaller or CCleaner or something along those lines, cleaning out cruft in the registry will definitely help in terms of making it easier to run Windows 10 and to upgrade Windows 10. We find that almost universally, running upgrades on a machine that was born, so to speak, as a Windows 10 machine work much better than machines that were upgraded from 8. So installing 10 clean is never a bad idea, assuming you have multiple backups of your data and you know they're good backups. But wiping your machine out and installing Windows 10 as a clean install, never a bad idea. And doing that will, like I said, help. Won't ensure, but will help with getting updates. In addition, of course, depending on who made your machine and where you got it, you may have devices that are no longer supported by Windows 10, and this can also cause a similar problem. When you have hardware that's perhaps old, you've always loved that Turtle Beach graphics card that you moved from your old XP machine all the way up. At some point, that stopped being supported, and not only are you going to get lousy sound out of the thing, but it may well be that Windows 10 just doesn't even recognize it anymore. So if you can't get a driver for it, either that comes with Windows 10 or that you download directly from the manufacturer, you may find that you are out of luck when it comes to that particular device, and it may need to be updated. Now, Dennis was on a desktop, and that may be part of the issue. I beg your pardon. Excuse me just one second. And it didn't help. Okay, here's the deal. When we have less expensive, shall we call them, computers, or particularly older computers that we've been nursing along for 20 years, the components are not going to necessarily be very high-end, either because they never were, or because while they may have been 20 years ago or even 5 years ago, they're not anymore. And particularly when you go for the less expensive laptops, they tend to use less expensive, less well-known, shall we say, less well-supported internal hardware. And so, you know, when you put together a device, there's a parts list. I need one motherboard. I need 384 transistors. I need, you know, one audio card. I need one J key. I need, you know, whatever it all ends up being. You put together a parts list, and then you start sourcing those parts. And you often, if you want to sell the machine for less or make a little more money on each machine, you source the cheapest parts you can find. Not to put too fine a point on it. And by sourcing cheap parts, you sometimes get cheap parts. And cheap parts die easy. And we see it
cheapo
all the time.
Generic is not likely to get you as far as, say, a brand name deal.
I used to be able to say buying brand name meant you were getting better quality. That's less likely these days. Brand names have premium brands inside them. You know, you can get three or four different models from Dell, the Inspiron, et cetera, et cetera. Some of them are cheap. Some of them are premium. Premium ones generally have better hardware in them. That's been Apple's deal all the way along, and their argument for why their machines cost so much more. They use only high-end components. That's no longer as true as it used to be, sadly. But they use only high-end components, and therefore they are justified in charging a lot more money for their machines. And that did indeed used to be true. Nowadays, you will often find what I think of as not the highest quality parts inside a Mac as well as anything else. I don't know. It's kind of a crapshoot all the way around. But I would suggest if you're in the lookout for something that will last you a while, you have to spend money to get it. That's not, you know, you can buy a car for $10,000 and you can buy a car for $110,000, and I can make a guess as to which one is going to last you longer.
Yeah, probably, unless you're willing to put in a lot of work into that lower-end car.
And that's just it. And if you are the sort of person who doesn't mind taking apart his or her computer and changing stuff and fixing stuff, then you buy a cheap desktop, you buy a no-name desktop, you buy a white box desktop, and you can get your fingers in there and you can get your whole hands and arms and elbows in there and change parts as often as you like, make yourself as happy as you want to make yourself. Laptops, that's a lot harder. Most of them don't have serviceable parts. And I don't even mean user serviceable parts. I mean just serviceable parts. Everything soldered to the motherboard because it's cheaper to do that than to buy a socket to add in. Socket costs a tenth of a penny. You put 10 of them on a motherboard, there's an extra penny. It's not going into your pocket, which doesn't sound like a lot. But when you sell a million motherboards an hour, that penny adds up. So, yeah, I get that people are using less expensive components. But it also means that I don't get to play inside my machine like I used to. And we don't anyway anymore. Everything is throwaway. You know, your laptop.
Everything. Laptops, phones.
Cars.
Everything.
So I get it. And even, you know, I do it. If I've got a problem with a card in my computer, my network card, say, I'll just replace the card. I'm not going to go in and figure out which resistor or thermistor or whatever mister is in there and fix it. I'm just going to throw away the card and buy a new one. And that attitude applies all the way up to the laptop. Oh, your laptop died? Throw it away. You know, that's one of the arguments for the $150 Chromebooks. It's what I take when I go on vacation or on a trip.
Hey, they're a throwaway, but at least they're a cheap throwaway.
Well, exactly. You know, with a Chromebook, I can do everything I need to do. And if it gets stolen or broken, I'm out, well, in my case, a couple of $100. Big deal. Comparatively, right? As opposed to a $3,000 Mac.
Yeah. $100 is less money than, say, $500.
Exactly right. So comparatively, it's not as big a deal. All my stuff is in the cloud, so it'll all come back down when I buy that new one. I probably have it insured if I'm not an idiot. And so, you know, I'm not really out much. I'm out a little bit of inconvenience for a while. And chances are that the Chromebook's not my only machine. So I've still got something I can use in the meantime, just not carry it around.
Yeah, I have a former XP machine that I turned into a Linux system that sits in my closet and serves as the backup in case either my laptop goes down or the main desktop computer goes down.
Yep.
I whip that out, I hook it up, and then that's there and usable while we're dealing with the other computer.
Yep, and that makes a lot of sense. A lot of people have a Chromebook. Have a desktop that they use most of the time, and then a Chromebook that they carry around when they have to be out and about. They're usually smaller and lighter and cheaper, and so you win there. And if something happens to them, well, you go and buy a new one. In the meantime, you've still got your desktop. And that's the way, that's the society we live in. That's the way things are done nowadays. And I get that, but you also have to be aware that along with that comes less expensive components. Nobody's going to put $800 worth of components into a $300 computer. It just ain't happening. So you have to be aware that when you buy a $300 computer, you're buying at best $300 worth of components and probably a lot less. So you need to pay attention to that stuff and you need to deal with that stuff. And I get it. It's hard at this point to handle that. You have to understand that there's a consequence to what you spend and don't spend. And, of course, that's true here at Jazz 90.1. Great segue. We only stay on the air because you let us. And if you don't help us stay on the air, we don't stay on the air. That's a simple fact of life. We only come to you twice a year asking for $55,000. That's nothing comparatively. That's nothing comparatively, but we struggle every time to get there, and I don't understand why. You think you would be delighted to keep this show on the air because you listen to it every week. If you're not interested in keeping it on the air, why are you even listening? I don't get it. I really don't get it. But I have time to think about that, I think, because it's time for us to stop and reflect for a minute. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and your phone calls when we come back with another segment of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are indeed member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we have Paul from Brighton on the line. Hiya, Paul. What's up?
Hiya. Yeah, good afternoon. Picking up on what you were just talking about, I guess I'm one of those who hangs on to things a very long time, maybe too long. I've got in my hand here an old iPhone 4 that I inherited from my son, who's since moved on to other things. And it does really all that I need from a phone. It makes calls. It's very fast on text messaging, just as fast as an iPhone 6 or 7. Of course, it also does other things like I can check the weather and stock reports very quickly. What it is slow on is, of course, surfing the web and things like that, and I use very few apps on it.
Right.
So, it's just my purpose. One thing that I am noticing now increasingly is the battery life is clearly dropping off. So now I'm pretty skilled at some of these things. I think I can replace the battery. Do you think it's worthwhile?
First...
It means taking it apart, and, there's some risk in that, too, obviously.
Well, exactly what I was about to say. There is a significant risk in taking the machine apart, because it is not user-serviceable. And if you were to open it up yourself and then had to bring it somewhere...
Oh, no, I would never do that.
Okay.
After that, it's the trash, obviously.
Okay, right. There are lots and lots of videos on YouTube that would tell you how to change the battery in an iPhone 4. Okay. So head for YouTube and search for, change battery iPhone 4.
Yeah.
And watch a bunch of them. The other thing is you probably would prefer to have a special tool or two, but they'll tell you about those in the... in the videos. It can't hurt to try with the understanding that you may soon be purchasing a new phone.
Sure. That probably would be better for everyone all around.
Well, then I say go for it. I mean, I do not encourage people to open phones that are still under warranty, of course.
Yeah.
But for a phone that you don't have a warranty on and that if it dies, you're perfectly willing to go out and buy something else, it's a fun thing to do. Frankly, and it may work. So those YouTube videos will tell you not only what it is that you can do and how to do it, but also where you could buy the extra battery and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay, pretty good.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck to you too, Mike.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And, of course, you can give us a call, Ken, at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And if you're calling to pledge, you can do so securely online at jazz901.org. And I want to thank Stephen for his pledge. Thank you very, very much, Stephen. We very much appreciate that. We're honored and delighted to have you as a member. Thanks so much. And, of course, you can join him. Like I said, we're in the middle of a pledge drive. And you can join by very simply making the call and making the pledge at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Just like Andy did from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Mac. How are you today?
Peachy. How are you?
Oh, we're hanging in there. A couple quick things. The tones on the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know if I did something wrong with them or not, but I never really had good luck with them.
Well, you got to pick the right tone, of course.
Well, I thought I had, but I switched my provider, and I'm now on a VoIP phone. I'm using Nomo Robo, and that works really well.
Oh, yeah, that works very well as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are a bunch of it's a very good product.
If you've got a VoIP phone, you can use it. If you're on a copper line, you can't, but if you've got a VoIP phone, it stops them dead.
Yep. Nomo Robo for the rest of you is a product that you can use, and VoIP phones are voice over internet protocol. Those are the phones that let you hook a phone up to your router and make phone calls that way. A lot of people are using those instead of landlines, regular landlines. The few people that still have regular landlines, excuse me, there's not as many of them as you might think anymore. And a number of them went over to VoIP systems. And in general, if you've got a decent network connection, they're very clean, very clear, very fast, very worthwhile.
The other things are just real quick. If you folks are still doing the radio collection for the Alzheimer's patients.
Yes.
I dropped one off today. Just a quick reminder to folks, if you've got a radio that's serviceable and laying around and not being used, that's just a really good thing to do.
Yeah.
The other thing...
Well, let me tell people a little bit about that before we go on. What that's about is really a kind of a beautiful thing that's going on, quite frankly. It's a little unusual. It's happening, of course, in the middle of a pledge drive, but it's a really beautiful thing. What happens is we are, as a station, we're teaming up with a former Miss America organization contestant named Diana Marie Russo, and she's got a deal here, and we're helping her do it. It provides free radios to local residents who've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. It's called Rochester's Gift of Music, and we will take certainly new but also gently used radios. They must plug in because nobody can guarantee they're going to, in a timely manner, swap batteries and things like that, so they need to plug in. But they will donate those radios to patients. And that provides immediate therapeutic relief and enhanced quality of life. Research has shown Alzheimer's patients can remember and sing songs even in advanced stages long after they've stopped recognizing names and faces. And it's a beautiful thing to watch a patient who is struggling with his or her being locked in his or her head to calm down when they hear a song they really like. Nursing homes often use music as recreation, and beyond the entertainment value, there's growing evidence that listening to music can also help stimulate seemingly lost memories and even help maintain cognitive functioning. So please, if you have a gently used radio, or if you would like to stop in at Goodwill or one of those places and buy a half a dozen of them for a few bucks, or even go out and buy a couple of brand new ones at $10 a piece. You can drop them off here at the station, and we will get them to Diana Marie, and she will get them handed out. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do. So thank you so much, Andy. We very much appreciate it.
Yeah, and then certainly last but not least, Tuesday being the big focus for everybody right now for the church retreats for the kids and whatnot, but it's the 31st, which means Thursday is the first Thursday of the month. It's the second, and it means Rochester Googles will be meeting.
That's exactly right. Rochester's Googles meets every first Thursday of the month at St. John's Meadows, and we encourage anyone who has an interest in anything Google. Yes, we sometimes talk about Chromebooks and we talk about Android and we talk about pretty much everything Google. So you're welcome. There will be something of interest. And of course, if you've got questions, comments about, all things Google, we're open to having you join us. A whole part of the session is about, question and answer, so we're happy to answer your questions.
And that's everything I got. You have a good weekend, and we'll see you Thursday.
Thanks, Andy. See you Thursday. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
Yep, those are just some cool things we're doing. I know it's waters down the message. We want to concentrate on getting in the dollars to keep this station on the air, but one of the things that this station does is partner with people like Diana Marie and get those radios into... What's more beautiful than the smile on the face of an Alzheimer's patient when they hear a song that they remember and love and that actually triggers a memory in them that comes out? They sing along, they laugh, they have a wonderful time. And the only way that happens is if they've got a radio in their hands. The only way they get a radio in their hands is if you drop one off here at the station. You can do that any time during business hours, 9 to 5 or whatever that is. 9 to 4:30, is it? 9 to 5? I don't know what the business hours here are. But I can tell you that in just a minute. But maybe not. Okay, not right off the top of my head because I'm trying to talk while I'm doing this. But you can drop them off during business hours here at the studio. And we will get them to Diana Marie, and she will get them into the hands of Alzheimer's patients, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do. And it takes, what, half an hour? You head to the store, you grab a radio, you go in your basement, you grab a radio, and you drive it down to the station. Big deal, half an hour out of your life, and you've made an Alzheimer's patient's time in their heads just a much more beautiful thing. I don't know how you would not do that. You got to be awfully hard-hearted to not be interested in that. So please drop off a radio. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do. And all kudos to Diana Marie Russo. She's a senior media and communications major at St. John Fisher. And she competed back at the beginning of October for the title of Miss Adirondack and Miss Heart of New York. I don't know how it went. We should find that out. But she's very passionate about promoting Alzheimer's awareness, remembering through music. And of course, that's a personal thing. Her grandmother was diagnosed with the disease in 2000. She's played the flute. She's provided musical therapy in local memory care facilities here in town. It's an amazing concept. And, when she brought it to the station and to Rob Linton, our station manager, he jumped on it. It's a beautiful idea. That's what we do here at Jazz 90.1, right? We bring music and other forms of entertainment to people who appreciate it. And so this is just one more way for us to do that. And we're delighted that Diana Marie chose us to partner with. And you could partner with us. It's really quite easy to do. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Or you could pledge right through your app. If you've got the Jazz 90.1 app for either Android or iPhone, or both, if you've got both, we certainly don't mean either as in any way exclusionary. You can, right through the app, make a donation online. And it's easy enough to do. You just start up the app and go. It's not 2 minutes out of your life. It's not 2 minutes. You know, even if you're a slow typist, even if you're typing and you're all thumbs on your phone, it's easy enough to do. It's quick enough to do. 2 minutes, done. and you help keep the station on the air for another year. Nobody gets return on investment like that anymore. Nobody gives that. 2 minutes for a year? How do you beat that? Get in on this incredible investment opportunity. Pick up the phone and make the call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Over there on the right is an awfully large blue donate now button. You click that and you are less than 2 minutes away from that smug feeling you get when you have pledged. I know nobody likes to hear us asking for money. Nobody likes to do it. We certainly don't. But there are two reactions you can have. You can just be exasperated that we're still asking for money, or you can be smug. You can sit there smugly saying, hey, I'm a member. What's wrong with those other losers? You can be a member and have that smug feeling every time we ask for money, and it's so, so easy to do. Just pick up the phone or go online or look at the app and become a member of Jazz 90.1. It's fast, it's easy, it's simple enough to do, and in less than 2 minutes, you can go from feeling exasperated to feeling smug. And isn't that worth a few bucks? And again, it can be as little as a few bucks. We do not insist. We have levels. Certainly, they start at $35 and they go up to $1,000. But if you want to send us $10 or $10,000, we're certainly not going to say no, particularly to $10,000. We're not going to say no to any of that, because I know that people, when they give from their hearts, and that's not a dollar amount. That's a thing. That's a feeling. That's you giving us the love that you feel for us, and we're delighted to then have you as a member of the family. It's a beautiful thing. We're going to take a short hiatus. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you, and we'll be taking your phone calls with the longest-running computer show in the known universe at 40 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And we have Brian from Pavilion, New York on the line. Hi, Brian. What's up?
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
Peachy. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm not as shorthanded as you guys are today.
Well, it's I don't know where the two of them just abandoned me. I think it's a conspiracy.
Oh, I don't know. I heard there was a special on Scotch in Irondequoit. Maybe there was.
Well, so long. It's been nice talking to y'all.
Colin. Anyway, actually, going back to what you guys were talking about first, the beginning of the program about the Amazon delivery service.
Oh yeah.
You know, that can work conversely, too. I mean, I can't imagine that it pays very well, you know, the job. So, I mean, you're sending people into houses without knowing God knows who's in there.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, you know, with a whole station wagon or a truck full of gear or stuff. I don't see that. That's, man, no way.
Right. Well, you know, theoretically, they're safeguarding it. It's only delivery people that they have on the list, and they have to verify that the person's at the door, and they actually are doing it from Amazon's cloud services rather than giving them some sort of unlimited access to your house and blah, 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 blah. I still don't trust it. It's going to be the biggest target for hackers ever.
Hackers, is just the whole thing, the whole security thing is just awful. It's just awful.
Yeah, it really is. I just cannot imagine, you know, and Amazon owns Echo, so I can only imagine that somewhere down the line they're going to say, oh, here's a new service. You can attach your Echo to your Amazon key. And the next thing you know, people are yelling, hey, Alexa, unlock the door.
It's just not right. I just, it's so ill-conceived. It's almost as ill-conceived as paying for Windows, but it just is ridiculous to think that you could, you know, deliver physical goods. That, I mean, if someone hacks you, like, digitally, you know, your credit cards, whatever, okay, it's uncool, it's awful, but, okay, really, what have we lost? But, I mean, you start sending people into who knows where.
Right.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, now you're talking about, you know, that's...
Right, this is where you lose that new suede couch. I know.
Well, one thing, like, I deal quite a bit with, like, some of the major shipping companies, and they don't come into your place unless it's a commercial building, and if they drop things off at your house, if you meet them at the door, okay, but they're not coming in and dropping things off and then going away.
Right. You know, and generally, you can give them... Go ahead.
Well, they're not, you know, they, I mean, there's these companies who've been doing this forever are smart enough to know that, no, you can leave it at the door if there's no signature required, or you need to sign for this stuff.
Right.
But you're not coming in the house.
Right. And you can always say leave it around the side door, or leave it in the garage or whatever as part of the instructions. Although for months we have had a particular delivery service who we've always said leave it at the side door, and they insist on leaving it on the porch. Perhaps they think our house has been planted sideways. That's a different story for a different time.
It is for sure. But yeah.
I mean, that's. Yeah, I agree with you. If you want to drop something off in my garage, you know what? I'm used to leaving things in my garage, and I know that the things that are in my garage are not secure. So if I go out there and my lawnmower's missing, I get it. You know, but I don't want to come home and find that my TV, my couch, my refrigerator, my dog, you know, all those things are all gone because Amazon wanted to leave a package.
It's crazy. Amazon, I don't know, they didn't get paid by, you know, making really stupid moves. Maybe they've got a way to figure this out, but I don't know.
You know, exactly. I don't know what the deal is, but God bless them if it works.
Sure. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks, Nick. But tell the rest of the guys, you know, they got to show up for work once in a while.
All right. Thanks. They should. Well, I'll tell them specifically they better show up next week. Maybe I'll take the week off next week.
Oh, man. All right. I can handle it.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right. Back to the phones. It'll be a moment. We have to remember our phone system was designed for taking dedications, not for taking computer calls. So are we ready? We're ready because Michael is awesome. We're going to talk to Ken from Rochester, New York. Hi, Ken. What's up?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Peachy, my friend. How are you?
Oh, most excellent. Thank you. Okay, here's the scenario. A couple of 3 weeks ago, I got a new Lenovo laptop, solid state drive, so on. It's wonderful. It's great, small, portable, doing everything I need for it to do, except it's woefully short on USB. Now,
it's woefully short on what?
USB port.
Ah.
So, I got a hub, I got it plugged into the hub, I got my mouse, I got my keyboard, I got this, that, and the other thing. When I plug a flash drive into the USB hub that I have it plugged into, it tells me, oh, there's not enough power to do this. So it's not allowing me to put in a flash drive into the USB hub that I have connected to the Lenovo. And it is a powered USB 2 hub. What might a cure be?
Well, this is weird. Flash drives shouldn't use power. So
exactly.
It theoretically shouldn't ever give you that. I mean, if what you've got plugged in there is a mouse and a keyboard, you don't even have those. What do you have plugged into it?
Yeah, I've got a mouse. I've got a keyboard. I think I have a powered external terabyte hard drive. But I only use that. I have to turn that on in order for it to be visible. There's no issue with that. When I turn on the powered USB connected in there hard drive, I see that it comes up. But a little pocket-sized flash drive gives me this, hey, there's not enough power to be able to look at this device.
That's so weird. Okay, so you've got a laptop that you don't use the keyboard and iPad on it, you have attached an external mouse and keyboard. All right. So let me ask this. Do you have, how many ports does this thing actually have on it?
I want to say it's got like five.
Okay, no, not with the hub. I mean, without the hub.
Only one on Lenovo. You can also get a
really? USB 2 or 3?
I believe the Lenovo has a USB 3 because it's brand new.
All right.
Get an external monitor on this thing. I had to get a whole new cable, blah, blah, the latest and the greatest mini HDMI and all that.
Yeah. Is it a powered hub?
Already? Yes. Yes. I have to have it plugged in. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Holy moly. And it doesn't have enough power for a flash drive? Have you tried other flash drives?
I have. A couple of different ones. I've got a million of them, of course. Yes.
Have you tried plugging a hub into the hub? A powered hub into the powered hub?
Yeah, well, yes. That's how it's happening now, yes.
No. I mean, yet another hub, daisy-chaining another hub that's powered onto it.
I have, and I get the same result.
I got to suspect that have you tried replacing the first hub with the second hub?
Okay. Well, what I was going to do is I wanted to throw the question here first because I might take a run to, Staples or Best Buy or something and see what the latest and the greatest is there. I mean, if it works and I get a satisfactory connection, then I'm good. If I don't, I could always return it.
Right. Well, my thought is it may be a defective hub.
Had it for years.
Okay.
I've had it with no negative results.
Right. Yeah, but my point is it may be going.
Oh. Well, that's a possibility.
Right. I mean, these things are devices and they die.
And we all go after a period of time, I should think, eh?
That's the theory, at least. So my suggestion is this. First, try plugging things in differently. I mean, I'm sure that you have the mouse plugged into one and the keyboard plugged into two and the drive plugged into three, and then you're trying to put the flash into four.
Yeah.
Try unplugging the hard drive and see if that helps. Try plugging the flash drive in where the hub, where the hard drive was.
No, it's switching things around a bit.
All right. And,
I get it.
Yep. And check to see if, in fact, you don't have X number of powered and X number of unpowered hubs, because most, ports, because most powered hubs don't power all the ports, they only power a couple of them. And so you may have things plugged into the powered ports that don't need to be in the powered ports and things plugged into the unpowered ports that should be plugged into the powered ports.
I got it. So as Boris Karloff used to say on the A1 Steaks commercial, experiment with it.
Now we're talking.
There you go. Thank you, bro.
Sorry, didn't hear that.
I said thank you ever so much. I will try that.
All right, my friend, you keep smiling.
You too, Nick. Talk to you again.
Have fun. That was nice. Oh, we'd like to thank our friend Judy for her generous donation. Thank you, Judy, for becoming a member of this great station and joining Stephen and all of the other people who have joined this beautiful station and have done their best to keep this show and this station on the air. We are most appreciative to both of you. And remember, folks, we are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we are not going to go away until we raise the $55,000 we need to keep this show on the air. It's not a lot of money in the greater scheme of things. We come to you twice a year asking for $55,000, and $55,000 is not a lot of money. We would appreciate it if you would join this station and join our group. Now, again, as to the pledge levels, there are a number of them available from $35 on up to $1,000. But if you want to give $10, We are delighted and honored. There is no amount that you cannot give. We'll take $5. We'll take $5,000. And we will be delighted for both of those. So please pick up the phone, make the call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And of course, if you're one of those people who does not like to talk to another human being, you don't have to. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And in point of fact, if you have the Jazz 90.1 app, you can click the little hamburger menu in the upper left corner. That's the three little bars. And you'll see a list of things you can do in the very first one. Look at that. It says support Jazz 90.1. And when you do that, it takes you right to the donation page on your phone. Scroll down until you see the soundbite stuff. Make a pledge in any amount, and we would be delighted to call you the latest and greatest member of the Jazz 90.1 family. Remember, although we have pledge levels, any amount is welcome. You do not have to pledge at a particular level. Anything from a dollar on up, and we'd be honored. Of course, if you have $55,000 that you're not really doing anything with at the moment, we'd be honored and delighted to take that full pledge from you. And when we reach that amount, we're done with the drive. So make that call, make that pledge. Once again, the numbers are 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz 90.1 app on your smart device. And we are done for another week. I want to thank Michael Oden, who did amazing work here today. I do not want to thank either Dave Enright or Steve Ray under any set of circumstances. But we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. If we are lucky, we will not be back in a pledge drive, but that's up to you. You have all week to call and make that pledge. Don't go away. George is here to play the best German music you'll hear all week, and we'll be back with sound bites in just 166 hours. Be good to each other.